All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do I do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I got to go to one of those marriage encounter things. It's been a while. Wife and I just recently had an anniversary. So I thought, all right, everything I've been reading says do something special. I said, honey, I'm going to take you to one of those restaurants where they make the food right in front of you. She was all excited. Boy, she dolled up too. Boy, all set up. So I took her to Subway, and evening didn't go real well after that. Good to have you with me. I got to take more of those programs. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here is The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday. Today, take your calls at 877-573-7825. That may be hard to remember. It's not an easy remembered number. 877-57-EQUAL. It's a little more easy to remember. It's 3 bits of information, as the memory psychologists would tell you, 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question about something personal, something that has to do with relations or kids or adult kids, I'm a psychologist, so I do a lot of therapy-type stuff, diagnosis-type stuff, but I don't do that here. Here we can just put our heads together, see if we can come up with an idea or thought or something to prod you in a certain direction or to keep you from going in that direction. You know, sometimes that's the best thing we do. We kind of have the attitude of, don't do that, it won't work real well, even though your impulse is taking you in that direction. 877-573-7825. Many, many of you have been recently on the program at the end. Standard rule, if you're there at the end, you call back anytime you're able, and you're first up. Your time is valuable, too. So if you've patiently waited and didn't get on the show, call in. Also, you can call in any time during the program. Many people think that all of a sudden, if you don't get on the very top of the hour, you're never going to get on. That's not true. Calls are selected on the basis of all kinds of variables. Or to use a popular word, variant. I used to consult to school systems. There were 12 of them, 13 of them I consulted to. Mostly to the special ed programs. There was a range of 8 or 10 various special ed programs. Spent a lot of time predominantly in the, at that time was called SBH, Severe Behavior Handicapped. But I think there's a law somewhere on the books, in education, up in the hierarchy, that says you got to change the words and you got to change the initials every few years because they become a pejorative, and then you got to get away from the pejorative. Used to be severely emotionally disturbed before it became severely behavior handicapped, and I don't know. I haven't been in the schools for a little while, so I don't know what the new letters are. Where am I going to with this? Because of that, I used to spend an awful lot of time doing teacher in-services. Sometimes 20, 25 a year. Various, mostly public schools. That has dried up almost absolutely completely. I think the most recent public school I gave an in-service to was 2-3 years ago. And that was because the superintendent knew me personally. Now, why would that be? Why would that happen? The main reason is not money. Money's one factor. And I think there are so many new requirements placed upon public schools in terms of understanding gender and diversity, all of that. So they have a lot more of their in-service time spent on those topics. But the biggest reason, I believe, has to do with the fact that I'm talking to you right now. I am talking to you on Catholic Media. And my website, of course, mentions this, that I'm associated with Ave Maria and EWTN. So any public school that's even going to remotely consider me now is not, because I'm Christian. I'm Catholic. That is the biggest reason. Back when I used to do these, one of the things that I noted was that teachers, as a group, had a very low morale. When I was growing up, well, Teresa Tomeo was still in the one-room schoolhouse, but I was in classrooms when I was growing up. And the teachers, it was a profession that they took enormous pride in. Enormous. I got pretty much across the board, at least from what I could tell, what my parents told me. But I had noticed that little by little, the morale was sinking among more and more of the teachers. Well, this just came out. With the end of the academic year in sight, an overwhelming number of educators are planning to close the book on their teaching career. Much of this stems from post-pandemic classroom behavioral challenges with students, an ongoing staff shortage. Educators with 25 or more years are opting to retire. Others are walking away and choosing a different career path. The National Education Association released a study, revealed 55%, for those of you, it's over half, of teachers plan to leave their profession ahead of their retirement schedule. Why is this? Now, this is what the article says. Widespread educator shortages predate the arrival of COVID-19. That's true. I noticed that way back. I was noticing it. I was just, more and more teachers were frustrated, feeling like they were battling uphill against more and more requirements and less authority. The pandemic served as the last straw for a lot of them. Oh, what happened was, and I have relatives as a teacher, she said, these kids are coming back to school. They're a year behind. Her second graders are not even close to even reading. She'd have to go back to the elementary, early first grade to catch them up. So, a quarter of those surveyed expressed the desire to quit after 1 year. I've talked to teachers, young teachers. They'll say to me, I was never prepared for what I'm facing. Now, what do I think the main thing is? I think by far it is discipline and structure. I was asked to consult to an inner city school, I don't know, some 20 some years ago, maybe more. It was a war zone. It was an absolute war zone. I was walking through the halls with the principals. The kids were roaming the halls. The principal tried to get him back to school. They looked at him like, who are you talking to? Teachers had their room shut. They wouldn't come out. It was unbelievable. And everything I suggested that they do, he said, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. We can't do that. We're not permitted to do that. Board won't allow us to do that. Legalities can't. We can't do anything. When I talk to teachers, general ed right now, and these are not war zone areas, but if I suggest things like, well, maybe he could have a letter of apology on your desk the next day. Oh, no, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. Are you allowed to have a second grader put his head down at his desk? Well, I think that kind of depends. You know, are other kids watching, and will that make him feel isolated? Pretty much everything you suggest as leverage that 40 years ago was quite fine, it's not allowed anymore. It's not allowed. So reality is intruding. Reality is basically saying, well, if you can't do things to establish order in a classroom, What's going to happen? The teachers are going to go, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't have any leverage. I don't have any authority. I can't tell you how many teachers I talk to. They tell me the same theme over and over again. That's the irony of reality. Reality always wins. When you follow all kinds of newfangled approaches to dealing with children and trying to keep order in a classroom so you can teach instead of having to be a policeman half the time, you just get frustrated. You get burned out. You can't wait to go home. Teachers will say to me, you know, the three best things about teaching? June, July, and August. So, let me see if I got any more on this here. 80% of National Education Association members reported that unfilled job openings at school have led to more work obligations for educators who've chosen to stay. Let's see. One teacher explained many veteran teachers just can't take it, in quotes, anymore, and are leaving due to the scale of mental health challenges students brought back to the classroom after 2 years of online learning. I think that's a nice way of putting mental health challenges. That's a nice way of putting behavior problems, and behavior problems exacerbated by the two-year absence. 2 years of excessive screen time at home and the disengagement of online learning have left students struggling. Now, see, they're trying to frame this in terms of the pandemic, which was just an awful. The research is coming out, just an absolutely awful move. Let's see more. See about this? I'm just going to count. They're talking about the need for counselors. Here it is. Who's this? Who is this guy that says this? Superintendent, former superintendent. He says there's a general lack of respect for educators. Why more are leaving their jobs early and others are reluctant to apply? Yeah, that's the other thing. 2019, U.S. colleges awarded fewer than 90,000 degrees in education. That's down from 200,000 a year in the 70s. Over the past 10 years alone, the number of people completing traditional teacher preparation has dropped by 35%. All right, enough of that. What's my point? My point is that reality is going to intrude. When you follow all kinds of ideas and notions that don't work and are basically involved in trying to deal with many more difficult students. They're coming from home situations where there's much less instruction, moral instruction, family cohesiveness. They're coming into the classroom. You better have an ability to keep order, because if you don't, it affects everything and everyone. And the idea that teachers are fleeing the profession in huge amounts is now a sign of that. It was bound to happen. It's bound to happen. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get out of the program. I would love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Ray.
When you see the world with Catholic eyes, you see God's hand at work in human history. You see the true, the good, and the beautiful. With a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville, you see the world as it truly is. This online program helps you see art, literature, theology, psychology, and more as occasions for grace. Find out more about the Master's in Catholic Studies at franciscan.edu/MCS. That's franciscan.edu/MCS.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. In the first chapter of Luke, we read, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear.' This is a marvelous encounter of two unborn children, one of whom was the Lord, and the other, the one who would announce him to the world. Both of them had been specially announced and named by angels who appeared to their parents. Clearly, God gives us a calling before our birth, and is the one who prepares us for that calling. He has a relationship with children in the womb, and became one himself. Why then should we be afraid to defend them and speak up for them?" This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
more thing before I go to your phones. A teacher from, where is this woman? California, in California, said they have had virtually no substitutes. None. Sub teacher shortage is awful. We haven't had subs all year. I feel guilty if I have to take a day off. She mentioned that in her high schools, in their district, are you ready for this? Only three teachers would return in the fall. The rest will be new hires. All right. I have a teacher wanting to comment on that, but I have to go to Angel from Perrysburg, PA, because she was on the line last week, end of the program, and I would have gone to her first anyway, because I was reading in the handbook here of Catholic Media, and people whose name is Angel jumped the line. That's what it says. Angel's calling from Perrysburg. She's going to comment on a previous call we had, and a guy calling in who was not sure about God existing. We got I don't want to say rabbit trail, because it wasn't a rabbit trail. It was a side topic from his original call. Now, Angel says she wanted to comment on that, but she believes she had a near-death experience. Hi, Angel.
Hi, Doctor. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're not. I absolutely did. I absolutely did, huh? In your death experience.
Well, apparently it didn't work all the way because you called in.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, right. If it had worked all the way, then you wouldn't have been able to call in.
Exactly, but it came pretty close. I was 21 on my fifth pregnancy. I didn't know I was pregnant. Had an ectopic pregnancy that burst went up into my chest, and full of peritonitis, and it enlarged my heart. I was in intensive coronary care and triage with two other patients who were dying, and I had my own little separate room. My dad had come to stay with me for 3 days, never left, and he was very worried that I was going to die, and they were talking about me not making it. I could hear him talking at the desk. And I told my father, who was in his 70s at the time, because he had had me when he was older, you need to go home, Dad, because you're really... You're exhausted, and I'm.
Angel, I'm going to have to hurry along here, dear. I just want to hear about this experience.
Well, yeah. Long story short, my dad said to me, "If you think you're going to die, tell Jesus I love you and I'm sorry." I said, "Oh, Dad, I'm not going to die. I'll be all right." Well, after about a half an hour after he left, I went into the death throes, and they called the priest, and I started to have a terrible vision of some kind of feeling of almost like hell. And then Jolene was saying, we should push the hell thing. Well, anyway, long story short, I said what my father said to say, and I had a death experience, including Jesus coming to me and saying, "Come to me, what haven't you done to help others when you could have?" And it transformed my entire life. After that episode, including going into the light and all that, it just changed everything about how I thought of religion and how I thought of God. And, because Catholic Church as a child scared me a little bit. I was 5 years old trying to remember the Apostles' Creed before I could get my first communion. And, it frightened me that it was that big for a small kid to have to remember all these things. And so trying to put it in perspective, all those years, it seems almost too big for me. But then it's...
Let me cut in here real quick, Angel. So essentially... You don't know what you experienced, but whatever you experienced, how old were you?
I was 21.
You're 21, and that was a 2x4, a spiritual 2x4 upside your head, that awakens you to the fact that there just may be something beyond all this.
No doubt in my mind. I had a second experience after that involving my son's death. But anyway, involving a priest and my son's death, predicting my son's death, exactly how it was going to happen. My son died in Baton Rouge.
Well, I'll tell you what, you call me back with that, okay? Because I wanted to hear about your experience, but more importantly, I wanted to hear about how it made you the believer you are today, and I'm sure you kept up the momentum on all of that, obviously. So that's wonderful to hear. Angel, thank you. Stephen says, and I'm not going to say where he's from, because he says he's a teacher. But he doesn't really follow the rules. Now, before I go to Stephen, when I used to work back in the severe behavior handicap classroom, some of those kids were violent. And I walked in one day, and I put my hands on a kid's shoulder, and he punched me in the face. Now, needless to say, I did not just take a sticker off his chart, okay? Matter of fact, we were allowed to restrain. We could restrain. Well, in restraining one violent kid one day, he turned to me and he said, I'm going to sue you because I'm going to tell my mother. And that just got me thinking, you know, I don't want my career to go up in flames because some child is going to accuse me of something. I'm not sure I want this. And I wouldn't say slowly. Within a year or two, I was out of that particular area. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
How do you get away with not having to follow the constrictions of the school?
Well, I'm going to just caveat. I'm a GRTC instructor, so I get to do probably a little bit more disciplined than the average teacher. But I think they can still apply the same things that I do, because these kids that come in, you're right, they are broken. They don't come from great households. They don't have any direction. And I just try to be that role model and being consistent in my discipline. It's not like bad discipline, like doing push-ups all the time. It's just like, no.
What's your discipline? What do you do?
I single them out if they mess up, right? And I go, you know, I think you're much better at this level. You're at this level, and you're performing at this level. And every time I see them put their head down and like, you're right, you know? And that's the problem with these teachers. They say, well, they also affirm the kids' bad behavior, but like, well, that was okay. You know, that was good enough, and they're not trying to make them achieve. I have a coworker that does the exact opposite, and at the end of the class or at the end of the day, all the kids hang out with me because I try to give them value, and this other teacher doesn't. So
you're talking good philosophy, but again, the question for me is, what can you do in terms of consequences for the kids?
In terms of consequences?
Yeah. Somebody acts up, somebody carries on, somebody's disrespectful, somebody curses. What can you do?
Well, I singled them out. I mean, one kid came in late, and I said, hey, you need to do... I did have him do push-ups at that time, and he tried to do 10 push-ups. Well, then, maybe this isn't the right thing, but I put him on... I gave him an Academy Award for pretending he did push-ups. You know, I gave him a little trophy. I go, and the kid's like, oh, my God, that's terrible. The kids really didn't say that because I've never been reported about it.
When you say you single them out, in what way? I mean, I know you're saying you point out what they did, but what do you do about it?
What I do about it is I just did what I guess I'm just saying what I did.
Stephen, they're gonna shut us off here because we got about 10 seconds worth of music. Thank you for the call, though. This is Dr. Ray, 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Thanks for joining me here. Dr. Ray Grandy programs The Doctor Is In. Number 877-573-7825. I went on that cardiologist diet, you know. It's pretty simple, really. If it tastes good, spit it out. Benjamin from Texas is no longer in education. And my opening monologue, prompted some thoughts on his angle. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Greetings to you and your mustache.
Hey, I had a mustache when mustaches weren't cool. I weathered it, and now mustaches are back.
Right on, right on. Your opening monologue resonated with me. I'm a teacher, or a former public educator. I taught 17 years total. Cashed in my retirement twice, though. Most recently back just a couple of years ago. And I certainly relate to the burnout and the challenges in public education. So, for me, you know, the last school district I worked in, they had a mission statement that I really got behind that. I think that was very profound. And I really got behind that, and we did a lot of parent contact. You know, that you were, as a consequence for students' misbehavior, when they got out of line, you were, as a teacher, were to call, make contact home with a parent or the guardian, and sometimes that was an older sibling, and sometimes it was an uncle, and sometimes it was in Spanish. But you were to call and make contact with them and tell them what was going on, and all of that was great. All of that was, I mean, it worked well. I've always had great rapport with the students, using humor, and it didn't hurt that I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. But, you know, so I could control a classroom, I could lead kids and put them on my team. But the outcomes-based nature of public education is so challenging, and then you throw in fads with that, and then you pile on accountability, and it's like an insurmountable challenge.
Why did you leave?
So that's,
why did you leave?
I left because the principal, who was my age, and we had personality class, and he was going to put me on a growth plan because I wasn't a good enough teacher. We didn't click at all. And so when he said he was going to put me on a growth plan, so I was going to go back the next year, and 17 years in public education. I've got a master's degree in educational leadership. And so I tendered my resignation. I have other things going on for me, and I said, sorry, you know, it's just, I'm not going to be able to do this.
How many years did you teach, Benjamin?
17.
I assume that what you're doing now is more satisfying?
Yeah, it really is. I went into entrepreneurship, and I've got some real estate that I rent out, so. The ball, thank God. And my children, my 10 children, have all gone through homeschool and the Regina Chaley Academy model, which is a hybrid. So, you know, and maybe that was a sore point that my administrators knew that my kids were not in the school district. They were being homeschooled.
Okay. Well, thank you, Benjamin. I appreciate the call very much. I'm familiar with Regina Chaley. Used to do a lot of speaking engagements with them, but I'm not sure what's happening in terms of their benefits and their banquets now. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. When Benjamin was saying that they called the parents, that would be the first line. However, in many of those situations, the parents, this is one of the things that frustrated the teachers tremendously, the attitude of a parent is, not my kid. And I used to sit in what we had as planning conferences, or what they called annual reviews, which every special ed student had to have an annual review at the end of the year. And I would say that the most difficult kids I've seen are those kids whose parents' attitude is, it's not my child's fault, it's the world's fault. And we would get kids like that, and they would be very difficult to manage because they knew that the parent would automatically question the school, the teacher, etc. Now, am I saying that the teachers and the school are never wrong in how they choose to handle something? No, I'm not saying that. Of course not. But what I am saying is that no matter what, certain teachers or principals or vice principals did regarding a kid, however they handled it, however well they handled it, it would come under critique and question from a parent. And typically what would happen is that the kid would ultimately flame out. Part of it would be the other students. They don't cotton to a kid who is superior to the system in his mind because that's what he's been told. Not my kid. It's the world's fault. By the way, I would oftentimes say that when a parent hears that a child is causing a teacher or a school district trouble, it's not the first time. This parent has heard this many times. Perhaps the kid's been kicked out of preschool. Perhaps the parent is having a hard time keeping babysitters, even though she's paying them $40 an hour plus benefits. This is not something new. And oftentimes, that attitude springs from the insecurity on the parent's fault, which is they're questioning my parent competency. Therefore, in defending my child, I'm defending me. 877-573-7825 is the number. As I said, many of my friends, people I know, are teachers. And there's an interesting inverse relationship. Those who are Christian, conservative in their perspective, if you want to define that word, are more frustrated with the system. Very, very much so frustrated with the system. They are... Well, let me just leave it at that because the music is going to start. When I come back, we'll get to your calls. I'm Dr. Ray, program Doctor is In. Monday through Friday, a co-production, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, wonderful network, and Ave Maria Radio Communications. Eric Dumont, call screaming. Andrew Krucek, producer man. The data in, preliminary data, 3 years of listening off and on can be once every 2 weeks, 27% of female callers reported that their mother-in-laws came up to them on Christmas Eve, said, "I've been so wrong about your parenting all these years. You are a far better wife and mother than I ever was." 27%, that's pretty good from mother-in-law. Laura is calling from Indiana. And I, you know, my wife said this, if Laura, if you mean this the way I think you mean it, this was something my wife said. Hi, Laura.
That's why I called, because you mentioned it in a monologue and you said, but I'll get to that another time. I thought, well, I'm going to call him before he
before forget.
Yeah.
What? Okay, wait, help me out here. I have a problem because I think of a monologue and then it's gone a minute later. So which one... Which one was it that I said I was going to talk about that I haven't yet?
You were saying how well your wife did at home, that she was just amazing and could take care of so much, and it's just day-in, day-out stuff. And then you came home, and it got a little more complicated. And I thought, yes, that's a very accurate statement as a homeschooling mother. But I don't know why, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, you throw another body into the mix, and you throw someone, I'll share with you from my perspective. To make it run, Randy had to have her structure. She was homeschooling 10 kids, so she had to have a pretty good structure. Dad comes home. All right, let's have some fun. Let's play. Let's mess around. When will you be done? I want to go outside and play kickball. Something. So now Dad's schedule intrudes. My wife said one of the things that helped her was that she early on came to the conclusion these are Ray's kids too. And even though she felt inclined to her structure, she realized that part of that structure was unstructure when Dad got home. Now, obviously, I didn't throw a fizzy into it and make everything chaos. I don't think I did. But there was another person, another parent in there that said, okay, well, can we do this? Can we do that? Or what time are we going to eat? Randy had thought we were going to eat at 5, and I'm thinking I just got home and I'm kind of hungry. So she had to juggle me too. Does that kind of touch upon what you're dealing with? Or is dad Mr. Disney Dad permissive? I wasn't that.
He's great. It's just he needs to be in charge. And just the in-between, like when we're doing the family thing, when he's in charge, we're doing the reading time or we're doing the play time, it's easy. But then when it's time for projects, like everybody has to get a certain amount done before 2 o'clock when we have to leave, it can be chaos. I mean, it's like from room to room, someone's doing the next thing, and I don't know. It's just, it's hard to know how to structure it. But, yeah, I want him to be in charge, but sometimes
My wife said that she would wake up, and she would have an idea about how she wanted her day to go. Invariably, it would get interrupted. Something would happen. Somebody got sick. Something broke in the house. Dad came home unexpectedly. Who knows? Something would happen. And she said at one point she finally realized that part of the structure of my day is a lack of structure because of unpredictability. And she said once she got to that attitude, she was more easygoing about the interruptions, one of whom could be Dad. Certain kids throwing a fizzy into the mix, whatever it was, because she realized if a day went according to the structure that she had hoped, that was a bonus. That was a bonus. It wasn't automatic. And that helped her. It helped her a lot.
That settles me, too.
Yeah.
Tell her thanks.
And think about this, too, Laura. You got a lot of wiggle room in homeschooling. You truly do. Now, you're thinking to yourself, okay, we got to get this done. We got to get that done. We got to make sure they do this right. But you have enormous flexibility. If you decide, you know, we got interrupted this morning. All right? So tonight from 6 to 7, we're going to do this. You can do that. You got Saturday. You can do Saturday. You can do Sunday after Mass for an hour. You've got the flexibility.
Yes.
And I always told my wife, stay 1 week ahead in the answer book. You know? That's what you got to do. As long as you're 1 week ahead. Hey, we had a kid once, just talked about unpredictability. Okay. He had some slight learning problems. We adopted him when he was 4, some delays from his early years. Birth mom used drugs in the womb. So he was struggling in school. 1 year, it seemed as though he magically turned the corner. I mean, this kid was getting it. He was turning in assignments, and they were good. They were good assignments. As a matter of fact, they were too good. He didn't think enough to miss a few. He found the answer sheets, and he was copying them. So we had to make him repeat 8th grade all over again.
Well, got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, I said, well, you know, hey, if you had the answers, why should you repeat 8th grade? You already know all this stuff, but apparently he forgot it. But you got just a little word of coaching to you moms. whenever they never miss anything, get suspicious.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Laura. Bless you, dear.
I'll talk to you.
All righty. Bye. Somebody got mad at me once because I said dear, you know, when you say dear or something. But when you say bless you, dear, now that, see, how can you get mad at somebody for saying that? You know, the problem is I'm getting old. So it's not a matter of condescension. Now it's a matter of just sort of cool old guy talk. 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Ray.
Christianity never saw itself as the fulfillment of a political process or a military process. Christianity was always bearing witness to a kingdom ultimately not of this world. The church teaches in Catechism of the Catholic Church that the kingdom of God lies ahead of us. It is brought near in the Word incarnate. It is proclaimed throughout the whole gospel, and it has come in Christ's death and resurrection. The kingdom of God has been coming since the Last Supper, and in the Eucharist, it is in our midst. The kingdom will come in glory when Christ hands it over to his Father. What this tells us is that we are working for a kingdom. For us, the kingdom of heaven is synonymous with the kingdom of God. His kingdom is to be established by virtue of our union with him.
Cresta in the afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, we are everywhere present, filling all things. Come and dwell within us. Cleanse us of all sins and save our souls, O gracious one.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Emotionally peaking, all biorhythms in sync, aligned with Jupiter and Saturn, the two big linebackers that protect us from all kinds of things that could strike us, asteroids, everything, meteorites, everything that's coming at us. They do, they pull off an awful lot of that stuff. They're like offensive linemen. Irma from Texas was stimulated to call in because in my opening monologue, talking about what's happening in the teaching profession across the board, teachers jumping from the boat all over the place, and massive difficulties in finding substitutes. Irma's a teacher. Hi, Irma. How are you?
Hello. About subs, I feel them. Yeah, we're missing them. We're missing them.
How do you explain that, Irma? How do you explain that across the board school districts are saying we can't get subs?
Well, I wouldn't blame them. I mean, us teachers, a lot of us, you know, have thought in our minds, what is plan B? What is the our next plan? What's our next move?
Irma, what would be for you the biggest reason that you would think of leaving teaching?
I can't make everybody happy. I can't make admin happy. I can't make the kids all happy. I can't make the parents okay and happy. At least somewhat okay. It's always something. And this pandemic has intensified it and shown a light on it. But it's been there. and this pandemic has made it even worse.
When you say you can't make all those folks happy, what it sounds like you're saying is that not only can you not make them happy, but it's frustrating because they resist or they challenge or they disagree with how you're trying to educate.
All of the above. All of the above. I mean, I've had an 8-year-old saying, oh, why are we doing this? Or, you know, and they will talk back. I'm like, okay. Very different.
And how long have you been teaching?
16 years.
Has there been a difference from your first year to now?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How so?
And with Uvalde, with what happened to Uvalde, that's opening a big can of worms. Big can of worms that are dead. Teachers cannot say anything if not we're a target.
Irma, you cannot say anything about what?
About what we see, how we feel, like, the kids and the pandemic, we are not trained to teach online or in the pandemic. It's, a lot of teachers aren't comfortable with that and the training's not there.
Are you going back into the classroom in the fall?
If I can find something else, no.
Will you lose all your retirement?
I don't think so. I haven't looked into that. I don't think so. But I need to look into that.
How many in your district or your building that you're familiar with think like you do?
Easily, like half of the teachers there. Easily.
Are they actively looking to leave teaching?
I would say so. I would say so, yes.
Would the main reason be simply because of the lack of cooperation? Now, when you said I can't make people happy, it sounded like what you were saying is the lack of cooperation from the kids, from the administration backing you up, and from the parents backing you up.
I mean, I've had kids that lie that I did something, and I'm constantly having to watch my back.
Does the administration automatically just assume that you're at fault?
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's the lack of cooperation and the lack of respect.
Well, you are tapping into the main reason I thought that this is happening in teaching, which is you are being asked to teach more and more difficult kids coming from difficult situations with less leverage, less authority, less structure, and oftentimes administrations who do not support the teacher first. They support the kid first or the parent first. I've heard that from so many teachers.
Yes.
So many.
Yes. So. And not only that, like the counselor at my school, she left in January, the counselor.
Mm-hmm.
We've been without a counselor for a while now.
Yeah, that's another thing in that article I didn't get a chance to tap into, which is they have very few counselors now in the schools. They are leaving, or they have one or two for several hundred students. Irma, thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Good Lord permit, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining me here. Walk with God. That should help stabilize your direction in life.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.